Have you been blessed so far? Amen. Thank you to Brenton and the choir and all the musicians that were here. We've been singing scripture, which is a blessing for everyone. Many times this idea comes to my mind. Okay, when you go to preach, because we had such a wonderful service so far, just say, okay, let's go home and let's go eat. Yes, amen. I should say, I'm going to still do the sermon. Not this time, I'm not closing now. I'm going to still preach. But please don't tune out. We are talking about tuning, and the choir did a marvelous job tuning. And we have these instruments. I want to sneak in mention, yesterday, Brenton was many hours on this piano to make it in tune for us today. So thank you, Brenton. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be in tune. Chuck Reed, he was saying, it's a blessing when we are not in tune singing too in church. Yes, but it's much nicer when we are in tune, right? So we are going to be talking about that, but before that, I just want to say it again. This was a tragic week for all of us here. And we have been talking, we heard in the prayer, in the songs. Just want to mention to the families that are mourning the loss of a loved one and all the friends and all of us, we are here for you. This is the church, and we are standing beside you. You are not alone. If you want to come talk, if you need help, just look for the opportunities that are in here. And we pray that God's peace will keep you and keep you in his heart. Now, going back to the tuning, I'm going to do a little test with you. What color do you see there? Red? Everyone sees the red? Okay, let's try next one. Green. Yeah, I've been a teacher a long time, so I want you to answer, to respond, okay? What is this? Yeah, everyone says blue? Good. You have 100% so far. Yellow. Is this easy for you? Yeah, so far easy, okay. This, what about this one? Oh, I hear many different options now. Uh-oh. How many, let's see, show hand. How many still see yellow? Green. Not yellow? How many see green? Okay, most of you. Oh, okay. How many see something else? A different one. That's not green. Okay, good. Let's go to this one. What is this? Red. Are you sure? Is the same red as the first one? Yes or no? Yes and no here. Okay. Which one? Let's put them together. So what is it? Are they the same? There's small differences, right? But you can say this is red and this is red. Kind of. But they are different. So I'm going to move around. Please follow me. Let's continue with this test because we were talking about being in tune. Okay, let's try here. What is that note? You say it with confidence. I like that. No, it's not C. Sorry. It's not C. So all the other ones that didn't answer, was that too hard? You're lost. You're like blind now. Blind to the colors. But let's think about it. Those are frequencies in the light spectrum, right? And we can easily recognize them. These are frequencies in the sound spectrum. Do we recognize them or not? Sometimes not easy. Okay, I'll give you an easier one. What is this? You still don't know, most of you. Okay. Okay, some of you are good. Yes. Okay. Let's put them a few together. See if I make it harder or easier on you. What is that? Oh, Jesus loved me. Is that easy? So what happened? I put more notes together and now it's easier for you to recognize instead of harder? And what if I do this? What happened? Was there something out of tune over there? Was easy to recognize for you, right? Okay, so maybe you don't recognize specific note, or you think you don't. Like, I put some ability in you, because when I play the other things, you easily figure it out that something was off or something was right. The Heart of Disease. What does that title has to do with being in tune or in music? Okay, let's find out. We are going to use Jonah's story. If you have your Bibles, so grab your Bibles. I want you having your Bibles. And please, again, to use the same term, don't tune out, because it's a very well-known story. Let's keep track of it, and we will go fast so we can go all to it. Right? How many chapters does Jonah have? 4. First chapter, Jonah is sent to preach to a place and he goes the other way. Second chapter, he's already in the belly of the fish or whale? Well, what is it? Okay, big fish. That's what the Bible says. Let's stick to that, big fish. Okay. Third chapter, the big fish vomited Jonah, and he's again on dry land, and he goes to preach to Nineveh, and everybody converted. The greatest evangelistic campaign ever. Everyone. And maybe if I were Jonah writing the book, I will stop my story over there. This is a beautiful Hollywood story. Tragedy, difficulty, and rise up to glory, and everybody's happy, everybody's cheering for you and for God and everything. But Jonah did write chapter 4, or the writer of the Bible, yes? Chapter 4 is Jonah talking with God. Okay, now we have the overview. Let's see if Jonah was in tune with God. That's what we are trying to find out. And then, of course, apply it to ourselves. So don't be too hard on Jonah. And be patient, and we'll see. It will be great if, as God talks about David, when he sent Samuel, say, "Oh, I found the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, that will do all my will." That was a heart in tune with God. That's what God said. Because the will of God was expressed and was manifested on David's life. But you can say, okay, David had a few mistakes, really big ones, right? But for God, his heart was in tune with him. So I'm going to post this idea as we go. If we want to really worship God as he deserves, we need to be in tune with him. Our heart needs to be in tune. Maybe not our voices, but our heart needs to be in tune with the heart of God. Let's see Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 9. And this is Jonah talking. And it says, "And he said to them," who is them? The sailors. He's in the ship, fleeing from the Lord, and he was sleeping. He hid, but they found him and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And then he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I fear the Lord. That word fear, it is used in the Bible sometimes to say I'm afraid or I'm in terror or something. It is. But it's much more than that. It comes from the Hebrew word yare. And that word also means when you stand in awe of something awesome and you have reverence towards that person and you honor that person with your life, that is to fear the Lord, that word. Now let me ask you, and you know the story, we are not going all the details, you know the story. Jonah at this moment is honoring God? Yes or no? What did God say? Go to preach to Nineveh. And where is he? On the ship going to Tarshish. The other way. He's going west when he was supposed to go east. And he's hiding. And he's doing it on purpose. So is he honoring God? I would say he's not. But he's saying that he is. When they ask him, this is his answer. So with his lip, he's saying, I worship, I fear the Lord. But with his actions, he's not. Mercy, yes. It reminds me, let's put your finger there in Jonah, but let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. And this is Jesus speaking. And he's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting the Old Testament many times. He's saying, Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, 8, and 9. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, he's quoting, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. They say they worship me. In vain. Teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That is what happens when our heart is not in tune with God. We can say it. We can declare it. But if our life is not aligned with that, it's vain. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus was used to quote scriptures. Going back to this word here. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? You remember that? Three temptations? The last one, depending on which part of the Bible you are reading, Satan took him to the mount and said, oh, you came to save all these people. Watch them. I will give them to you if you kneel and worship me. What did Jesus say? Get out of here, Satan. Because the Bible says, fear the Lord, same word, same thing. He's quoting Deuteronomy this time, right? Fear the Lord and serve him only. So Jesus knew what was to have a heart aligned, in tune with God. And he used scripture for that. And Jonah did too. He's quoting scripture too. So let's take a few ideas from this. We might have this illusion, let's call it, of devotion. Like Jonah. Oh, I go to church. I worship the Lord. I do it. You can be religious and still be resisting God. Like Jonah did. And that's hard. We need to examine ourselves. Right? We can say it in another way. You can be doing, like a prophet is doing God's job, God things, and still be disobedient. Because that's not the God thing that God wants you to do. Let's put it in this musical context that we are using. You can be singing God's song and still not be in tune. You can be here in church, come and sing the songs. But maybe your heart is not in tune with that. It's possible. And that's a tragedy. All that will be vain, as Jesus said. before. But maybe that's not all that we have from Jonah. Let's go to chapter, let's skip chapter 2. We leave that for the end. That's the best one. Let's go quickly to chapter 3. He goes to Nineveh. He was fleeing and not doing what God wanted. He was disobeying before. Now he is obeying. He went. He preached. The people converted. They all repented. From the youngest to the oldest, all of them. And then, what is God doing when that happens? Is he happy that all the people of Nineveh repented? Oh, yes. Jesus told us very clearly, there is more joy in heaven for one sinner that repents than for all the other ones. So there is a feast in heaven. There is a party in heaven every time someone repents and goes back to God. And this is a whole city. So there is a big, huge party in heaven. Is Jonah part of that? Is he happy as the other one, as God is? Let's read it. Psalm 4:1. After this happened, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. How sad. How sad. You're in the best moment of your calling and what God wants you to do, and you're doing it. But you are displeased and angry. Nobody else may know. But your heart is not there. And it's exceedingly... Time out for a minute. Time out. I forgot to tell the kids before, so I'm going to say it now. Look, I have... What is this? Kids? A whale? A big fish? Looks like the one that is here. Yes. And it has the texture and everything. These are really nice. If you are not listening the rest, read the Bible now while I'm talking, kids. And if you come with the time that in the whole four chapters, the phrase exceedingly come, I'll give you one of these. Well, I have three. So for the first three that come after the worship to me, first three, I have. But you need to tell me the number because John is using this in a specific way. When we were talking about the sailors before, he was saying they were exceedingly afraid. And now he's exceedingly. So how many more times? We'll come back to that. Now, let's have some ideas from this part, from this chapter 3. Maybe we have this illusion that if we are obedient in a way, we are in tune with God. But still, again, you can do what God says and your heart still be from him. Like what happened to Jonah. He was doing it. He went and he even preached. He preached the truth. That great sermon that he did, it was 8 words. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And everybody believed. And God sent him to do that. He was doing it. He was obedient. He went, even though he didn't want to. But he wasn't living it. Obedience without mercy is performative. Obedience is great. Children, if you are here, obey your parents. Do it always. It's good. But sometimes as parents, we see that our kid is obeying us in a way that is just performative. They don't want to suffer the consequences of something else. But they are not really getting it. They are not doing it for the right motives. And this is what happened to Jonah. And that's sad. You can sing the right melody and still be out of tune. You'll see this theme coming on. And if you are obedient in this way, are you really worshiping? Is your heart in tune? That will be incomplete, at least. At least incomplete. You're doing part of it, but it's not enough. It's not enough to God. Let's continue in verse 2 now. And we are getting closer to the end, but also deeper in this trend. Jonah 4:2. And he prayed, Jonah, he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Now we understand that Jonah wasn't really going away from the presence of the Lord, because as Jesus, probably he memorized scripture and he memorized Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? No, there is no place that I cannot be there. He wasn't fleeing. He just didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew God is merciful and gracious. And maybe if he preached to them, some of them will repent and God will do what? Forgive them, change his mind, and not bring the disaster that in Jonah's mind they deserved. They were the enemies. They were terrible people killing the Israelites. And they were, I don't know, you can read it in the prophets and kings. It's terrible what they were doing to Israel. So Jonah didn't want to be the one that is going and offer him God's mercy. What he's using here, steadfast love, that's a word in Hebrew that is hesed. And it means this character of God that is loving nonstop. It cannot end. And it is faithful even when we are not faithful. And with people that is not faithful. And Jonah knew that. And knew that that is how God is. So what if I go to Nineveh and those wicked and terrible people, some of them repent because I told them, I will be a disgrace to my country because I'm helping them. So Jonah thought that he knew better than God. If God wants that to happen, there's someone else do it, not me. I'm not part of that. And that's dangerous. Because if God sends us and has a purpose for us, and we don't want to be part of it, we are putting something else instead of God in our heart, in our throne. Now, how do we call it with something else taking the place of God in our lives? What is that? An idol. I heard many good answers, but it's essentially that. God needs to be God in our hearts for us to be in tune with him. If something else is in that place, and it might be an idea, or it may be some very useful thing like money, and we want to be established and comfort, and that is more important to us than God. Or maybe it's prestige, a family name, a position, a job, a person that we love more than God. All that is, it becomes an idol. And we are sometimes fast to say, oh, no, I'm not an idolater. I'm not. I don't have idols. Really? That's what Jonah thought. And he was so out of tune with God at this moment. Anything that takes place in our hearts, the place of God is idolatry. Even this. And this is, it's like obedience. Is obedience good? We talk about obedience in the part of being obedient to God. Of course it's good. You should, don't doubt about that. Obedience is good. It's just not enough for some things, but it's good. Now, is it good for us to love our country? Yes, you should be clear on that. It's good to love our country. Or is it good to hate the other countries? And why there is so many wars in the world right now? One country against the other one. So something is off, you see, and creates all this harm. And what about not the countries? What about races? Is good to love your own race? And I don't want to step on any toes. It's good to love your own race, right? Yes. That gives you the right to despise the other race? No. Or maybe you don't despise it, but I want us first. And the other ones need to apologize to me. Or they are the ones doing the wrong. They are in the wrong place. This is our place for our people, not for you. That's what we do. That's what Jonah did. I don't want to go preach to the Ninevites. Maybe we do it here in the church. I'm sorry. So, which one is the right church, the true church? Are you part of it? You don't know. Now you're afraid to answer. Right? And sometimes you say, oh, no, our denomination is right. All the other ones are not. And those are the lost people of the world. They are confused. We need to be in prominence. And we think we are better. That's not what God is about. We want to be in tune with the heart of God. God is pursuing all people. He wants all people to be saved. And he wants us to be part of that. So we need to be loving who? Some, only our own. We need to love everyone. And it's not, we were talking, it's not just saying it, right? It's doing it. It's living it. You can know the right melody, God's song, but your heart beats to a different rhythm. It's possible. It happened to Jonah. Instead of he being happy and in being part of what God was doing, he was still there. But he's, look what he says on verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. It is better for me to die than to be here doing what you asked me to do. That's what he's saying. See how far off he was. But he was preaching, and everyone got converted. Well, not everyone. He was, right? The irony of that. So, let's bring it to ourselves now. That is corrupted worship. That is false. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. This is the good one. Okay, we talk about all the wrong things. Let's focus now on the good one. Jonah has it too. He's in the belly of the big sheep, big fish, the whale. Verse 3 of chapter 2. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows pass over me. Jonah was indeed, literally, in the bottom of the sea. And he knew he deserved death. And that's all that he saw. If you go to verse 2, a little bit before, it says, I call out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. That's a psalm. He was quoting. I call out to God and he answered me. Out of the belly of, what does he say? On verse 2, when God answered me, I was out of the belly of, it says fish. My Bible doesn't say that. It says Sheol. Do you have that one too? The grave, some say grave. So he's saying, I was dead already. I was in the belly of the fish, but it's a figure of speech. I was in the cemetery, in the grave. If you keep reading, jump to verse 6. At the roots of the mountain, I went down to the land whose bar closed upon me forever. So this is the place that you cannot return. That's what he was. So he saw his future and he only said, no, death. This is what is coming. And this is the death that you cannot come back from. You have no hope. Jesus, again, he was with preaching and the Pharisees came and said, give us a sign. Give us a sign. And Jesus said, oh, you are hypocrites. I won't give you any sign except the sign of, oh, the sign of Jonah. And what was the sign of Jonah? He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, that is compared to say like 6 feet under. It was a phrase to say he was there. He was there in that place, in the grave, 6 feet under. As Jonah was that, I will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then I will be alive again. So, let me ask you, the death that Jesus took was the first death or the second death? That was the death that you cannot come out from. That's the Sheol. That's the death that he was talking about. And when Jonah is describing his experience as he is in the belly of the whale or the fish, the big fish, he's saying, this is where I am. I deserve death. I recognize that. Now, what? If I recognize that, I am at your mercy. I'm calling out to you. I cannot be obedient to earn my right. I cannot be talking anymore. I just call on your name. And call on the name of Jesus. And he says, I know you are here. Even though I'm down here, I'm in the worst. I made so many mistakes. When I call you, you hear me. Amen? And that's what we all need to get through. We don't need to be in the bottom of the sea. But we need to recognize who we are and what we need. And that's when we begin aligning ourselves to the heart of God. And we go quickly to this, because this is the most beautiful part of Jonah's story. But he begins at the heart of the sea, at this place. That's the recognition. It's the place where you don't see anything else, but you know God is merciful. And his love never stops. Not even by death. His love never stops. That is chesed. When you recognize that in your life, everything changes. Everything. You cannot be the same again. You know that without mercy, you are still dead. You are still in the Sheol without the mercy of God. But if you have mercy, that we all do, then we are alive. How can we be in tune and worship, truly worship God? Well, we need to recognize I was lost. I was there. Let's read verses 7 to 9. We heard it at the beginning, the scripture reading. And it's going to guide us through this. Verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. So when I was there in the Sheol, I remember. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. You heard me. Those who pay regard to vain idols. See that he's referring to all that we were talking? Vain idols. Forsake their hope of steadfast love. So if you are doing something else to gain God's favor, you are missing it. But I, Jonah says, I, with the voice of thanksgiving. So, of course, if I'm in that position, I will be thankful for someone to give me an option. I will sacrifice to you. There will be sacrifices. This is, some other version says, I will offer sacrifice. So, it's not just talking or saying. I'm also offering. I'm giving something back. I'm making a sacrifice because I've been saved, because I received his mercy. And then it says, what I have vowed, there is a vow, there is a commitment there. What I have vowed, I will pay. So there is obedience there too. So everything comes back, and we have the doing, we have the obedience, we have the religious things, it's all there, but it doesn't come first. Mercy comes first, he said. And because we recognize that he saved us, all of this comes. And now we are in tune with God. And we will do all his will. Because our heart is according to the heart of God. May this be our experience. May this be what we aim for. And maybe we are in different parts in our journey. Maybe some of us are far away here. Maybe we are like the Ninevites. They didn't know about God. And they were doing terrible things. And they didn't care. But God, that is relentless to pursue us, will come to you at some point. He will get to you. He will give you the opportunity. So if that is your reality, that you are far off, pay attention. Don't worry. God offers chesed for you. If you are closer to God, like the sailors maybe, they knew about Israel, they were doing business with Israel, they were going through the motions, you come to church, you go to an Adventist education system, and you do things, but your heart's still not there, but you know part of it. Probably God will send you a prophet. Like he sent John, God knew what Jonah was going to do. And he used it to save the people in the ship, the sailors. They were worshiping God at the end. So if that's you, you know about it, but you're not totally committed, don't worry. There is still chesed for you. If you are here in church because you say that you worship God and you fear him, and you want to follow him, and you do most of the things right, but sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes your heart is not all aligned. God already sent you a lot of prophets to you. He sent you a lot of things, a lot of people to talk to you. And maybe the prophet is your neighbor, it's your teacher, it's your pastor, someone else. He's sending you people all the time. Listen to his voice, because there is chesed for you. For the last one, for Jonah. I'm preaching to me and to many here. If the Lord has called you to do his purpose, and nobody notices, but your heart is out of tune, don't worry. There is chesed for you. May God bless you. If you're in this last group, though, be careful. Because there is chesed for you. But God may send a whale to you.